Jesus Christ, you people suck.
Wow.
Wolverine on a tangent.
Back in the days when we played video games, it was hardcore for the nerdy and lazy. Now things have changed, and all our video games are also for the casual and lady.
But that's okay, you know the score. We told you a million times before, playing consoles, not just games, is in the past. And every week you listen to the best damn internet radio crew. It's the N4G Podcast. It's the N4G Podcast.
It's time for a venom-filled episode of N4G Radio. E3 is over, so we actually talk about games now. And with us today, we have Drew. I'm pissed off at people in my house, Leechman.
Yeah, I'm not really pissed off at the people in my house. It's just they show up when you call me.
And also with us, we have Gambus. I hate the Green Lantern Con.
Greetings, programs. I love the Green Lantern comic book and the source material, but the movie was weak.
Thanks for justifying that. Also with us, we have Ryan. I hate the PSN Wombold.
Fucking make me download and then wait and do a separate install that takes just as long as a fucking download for a 277 megabyte game. Grow up.
And finally, we have John. I hate a certain European nation, White House.
Snooch to the boot.
Y'all a bunch
of
hate
nation. They're all great.
You hate a bunch. Y'all a hating bunch of motherfuckers today.
Well, Ryan's the one. He's got hate in his eyes.
You know what? Duke Nukem sucks.
That's not news, is it?
No.
You know what, Wombat? You're just happy now because people will now leave Two Worlds and Two Human alone.
Oh,
that's the truth. there's a new target in town, brother. Oh, but anyway, why don't we start with some fondling? And Gambus, that does not include your movies.
Oh darn. Okay. Okay, I played some portable games, and I played some console games. I'll start off with the console games. I played on the PS3, I played the demo for the Wizardry, I think it's called Lost Souls game. To put it simply, it is sort of like it's pretty much Etrian Odyssey for a console. As a first person dungeon crawler RPG, it's very, very, very hardcore. And it lacks animation. The enemies are just static 2D images that you fight. It's almost like the original Dragon Quest all over again, except it's in, like, HD. And it's incredibly hard. If you don't equip weapons, like, you will die automatically. All your whole party of six people will automatically die during the first battle if you don't actually equip weapons. And the game doesn't hold you by the hand. They don't tell you that you need to equip weapons. It's like, oh, there's a town here, and you could go to the store, you could do this, you could do that, you could go to the dungeon. Okay, I want to go in the dungeon. You go to the dungeon, enemy party just kill you. Like, flat out. You know, because you should have gotten weapons and you should have equipped weapons, you know, but since this is a hardcore game, it's like, it doesn't tell you anything. So, if you're into Etrian Odyssey, and if you don't mind using your console to grind levels hours and hours and hours and hours, it's one of those games that you have to put out, like, countless hours in just to basically chip through the game because of its high difficulty. If you don't mind doing that, If you're one of those sadistic RPG fans, it's a good game. I thought the music was good. The graphics, even though the graphics, there's no animation, it's got that cool, like, late 80s, early 90s anime look. So that's awesome. On the Xbox 360, I played a demo of a game that I'm late to the party to, big time. That's pretty awesome, and that is Super Meat Boy.
Yeah, you are late to the party on that one.
Yeah, I wasn't really playing Xbox or pretty much any game console at all during the time that this came out. So I was just checking up and trying to get up to speed, because I heard it was a really good game, especially if you're into classic 2D gaming. And it is. It's really cool. I love the intro, how it's almost like a homage to Double Dragon, where you see the main villain, Mr. Fetus, punch out the female character that you're supposed to rescue.
That's what you remember about Double Dragon?
And the upbeat music that's happening at the same time, it's like...
I'm just saying, Jason, that if woman abuse is what you remember about Double Dragon, you may need to see somebody.
Jason, that's they're making a mockery of the intro to Street Fighter 2, man.
Dude, it was a mockery of Double Dragon as well, because I realize that now that you tell me that, because it's from the angle of Street Fighter, but I don't know, it just reminded me of Double Dragon at the same time.
I want to warn your wife that you're all about abusing women.
Hey there.
Punch you in the stomach and then carry you off to wherever the fuck we went. That's what I love about Double Dragon, is like the dude comes in and punches his girlfriend and walks like 2 feet off screen, and then the guy can't catch him right there and just end the game.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Why did Gambus turn into James Hetfield all of a sudden?
Little boy, you going to hell.
He was talking about beating women, and all of a sudden he's like, yeah!
I beat my wife.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, wait, no, that's Rob Zombie.
Got it. It's like, talking about spousal abuse, you have to add extra syllables onto the end.
Yeah. Yeah. I say it, dog.
Dracula. Oh, sorry.
Okay, another game that I played this past week was the demo for El Shaddai. Has anybody played El Shaddai?
Yes, I've played it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's different. I like it. It's a very I don't know, artsy. I guess you could call it an artsy fartsy game. It's got a restrained aesthetic value on it, which is kind of the way to go if you don't want to be a realistic first-person shooter, I guess.
What? This game is an action third-person adventure. What? I'm confused by your statement.
Well, you know, everybody is a military first-person shooter. You know, it's realistic graphics, you know.
No.
Hey, that's what I've been hearing about E3. I heard that like 80% of the games were first-person shooters, trying to be more realistic than the other person. Well, you got then you have a game like El Shaddai, which is, you know, an action platformer, but with very minimalist graphics. So,
I don't know what E3 you were watching.
I understand what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
You're saying that El Shaddai stands out in a pack full of want to be realistic military shooters.
Yeah. Yep. And it's the source material is pretty cool. It's the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Book of Enoch, if I'm if I'm not mistaken.
Considering his name is Enoch.
Yeah. And that deals with fallen angels and
genes.
Yes, and high fashion.
Well, no, Lucifer gave him that pair of jeans. But his name is Lucifer.
Yeah, because it's before the fall.
Yes.
Yeah. Shit. And he looks kind of like...
Say that under your breath.
Huh?
What'd you say?
I said goofy-ass shit.
What, the Bible?
No. Lucifer giving him a pair of jeans.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
No.
And he looks kind of
better than that.
I do. That's why it shocked me. I'm like, are you just mad at everything today?
No.
He looks kind of like Edward from Twilight.
Oh, no, he does not.
Jeez. Your mom looks like Edward from Twilight.
Yeah, she really kind of does. She sparkles in the sunlight.
But El Shaddai was a... It was a good game. The demo was... I'm just wondering if there's more to it. Or if that's pretty much the whole game.
What do you mean, is there more to it?
You walk, and then everything stops, and then you fight enemies in a circular, like, battle scenario. And then after you defeat the enemies, then you continue running through the level.
Did you learn the combat?
Yeah.
Did you learn about purification?
Yeah.
Did you know that some enemies are more adept to the weapons? I don't know how far the demo goes. I know the demo starts exactly where I started it, but in my demo I also played a 2D platforming segment and a couple other different areas.
Yeah.
See, that's where it does shake it up a little bit. I've heard that the game is actually 50% side scrolling. And 50% like third person platformer, action platformer.
I'm just telling you not to be worried about the game. It's phenomenal.
Sweet. Yeah, I played that. That game's. I'm looking forward to that. That's on my radar definitely. And then of course my handheld games. I've played. I played some Radiant Historia. And that game's phenomenal. If you like Chrono Trigger or Final Fantasy VI, it's got a strong Final Fantasy VI like mixed with Chrono Trigger vibe to it. It's a really good role playing game. I love the battle system. It's nice and quick. It's also tactical at the same time. You can actually there's attacks that actually move the enemies to certain areas to where then you could attack. It's kind of difficult to explain, but the enemy party is on a 3x3 grid, and you can actually move enemies to occupy the same space. When you do that, your attacks actually inflict damage on multiple enemies at the same time that are on the particular space. So the game almost turns into a mixture of a role-playing game battle system intermixed with a little bit of, like, I guess, Tetris or a puzzle game. And but what is also incredible about that concept is that it's really fast and really quick. Battles can last like in just seconds. With some quick thinking, you can plow through a battle system in no time. And I think that's like awesome. Cause it's like, you know, most games where you think of strategy or tactical situations, you know, the word slow and cumbersome also follows, but not this game. It's fast. So, I really like that, and I also love the soundtrack. It's got a really good soundtrack as well. And then the last game I played a little bit more of Legend of Heroes, Trails in the Sky. And it's also a very awesome role-playing game. So it's more a little bit more traditional. The battle system is deep, but unlike Radiant Historia, Legend of Heroes, my main complaint with the battle system is that it's actually pretty slow. I love the game, but yeah, the combat is a little bit slower than what I would want it to be. But I love the graphics. I love the soundtrack, and I hope that the whole trilogy is released here in the States, because I heard that each one just gets better than the last, and the first one is really good. So there you go. That's what I've been playing this past week.
What about your future?
My future? Well, I downloaded Infamous for PS3.
Have you never played it?
I played probably about half of it, and then I was hard up on cash and sold it. But I was like, I gotta have that game again, because I'd like to play the second one sometime. So I'm gonna be playing the first one.
Well, good luck with that, sir. It's a great game.
They're both great.
Sweet.
They're fantastical.
Oh yeah, I'm also picking up Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D today. So that will be another future fondling.
Already. That's already out, right?
Yeah, it's out right now.
Okay. Well, I mean, it didn't just come out today, did it?
Well, it came out yesterday.
Don't play the fourth dimension game with me, you son of a bitch.
They come out on Sundays. All Nintendo games come out on Sundays.
I know.
Yep. It's not there.
Be quiet, John.
We're talking about America.
We're talking about America. Fuck yeah. Okay.
There's James Hetfield again.
America. Rah.
America. Ow. All right. So I will move on to Mr. Leechman, Mr. Frustrated Fury.
Yeah. I've actually played a lot, considering the fact that I moved completely, and yeah, but since we didn't get to talk about what we played last week, I can talk about the wonderful, wonderful game that is Infamous 2.
Hell yeah.
Infamous 2.
I played it, beat it in about a week. I wanted to take my time with it. Plus, I got all the blast shards and got all the dead drops and stuff like that. I'm trying to platinum the game. Played through first on Evil. That ending is really, really... It's good and sad and just crazy at the same time. Ken attest to it. I am a fucking psychic. Because I emailed him saying, I think I know what's going to happen. And you know what? That happened. So, that's two games that I have ruined for myself just by guessing. I ruined Heavy Rain for myself when I played the fucking demo. So, yeah. But it was actually really good. I saw the evil ending, obviously, first, and then I went back and I saw the good ending. And to me personally, I think the evil ending's better. It has more oomph to it, I guess you'd say.
Oomph.
Yeah.
There it is.
But I played a crap ton of Infamous. I'm working on my good playthrough right now, and should be platinum that game sometime this week, so I can put it on the shelf. I also played a lot of Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. I picked up the Arcade Edition. It's official that Yang and Yun are both very, very cheap. They completely throw the balance off of the entire game. Due to the fact that they play and feel a lot like Street Fighter 3 characters in a game that doesn't feel like Street Fighter 3. So when they do their super move, they can basically get you into a infinite loop until their super meter runs out. And I just really, really don't like them. To me, they ruined part of Street Fighter 4. But, you know, yeah, I haven't really met that many players online. That's the thing about it. People are mainly sticking to their mains. I mean, I have seen a lot of Onis because everybody was playing as Akuma for some reason. But, they rebalanced it at the same time, and it's kind of... They nerfed the crap out of my main El Fuerte so bad. I don't know why, but... Yeah. My second main, Cody, they did actually give him a few buffs, so I'm actually using Cody a lot more now. But, yeah, played a lot of Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. Would I say it's worth the $15 to buy it? No. I mean that's the harsh reality is it's not worth that. I mean, it's four extra characters, two of the characters play exactly the same, and then Yane and Young break the game, and then they rebalanced it, so the rebalancing I don't like. But
the balancing would be there even without the arcade edition, right?
Wrong. If I'm playing with somebody who hasn't bought arcade edition, I can't use any of the new characters, and it's going by the Super Street Fighter 4 rules.
They don't have, like, a upgrade pack?
Wow, that's pretty shitty.
They have an upgrade pack for, like, you can watch replays from the new characters.
But if I don't pay for it, I can't play against those characters.
Correct.
That's stupid.
Capcom fucking sucks.
So you're telling me if I pay for the arcade edition... I can only use those characters if I'm playing against somebody that also owns the arcade edition?
As far as I know, yes.
That's stupid.
That's the worst. That's crap.
Welcome to Capcom.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like this is the first fighting game that had downloadable characters.
Well, Marvel has it. I mean,
yeah.
There's tons of
characters. Those characters were on the disc, though.
What about Blaze Blue?
Yeah, I mean...
Those were on the
disc. Just upload a pack so that the people who don't have the character can see the character and just can't play as it.
Okay. I mean, that's what I figured they were going to do, but I was playing with a guy I know, he changes his name all the time. He's Super09 on Twitter, and he just has Super, and I was playing with him, and it would not let me choose Yane and Young.
Okay, well, you know, you keep telling me that those were on the disc. Well, the Mortal Kombat ones are on the disc, but guess what? If I buy them on Tuesday and you don't, we can play.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm not trying to say, hey, this is totally fair. I'm just saying that, you know, your other examples were on the disc.
Well,
so there would be absolutely no reason why I shouldn't be able to play, you know, against somebody using DLC characters in Marvel, but, you know, Super Street Fighter 4 didn't have Yane and Young on there.
Actually, Blaze Blue characters weren't on the disc.
Well, they were. The DLC characters were released, like, what, the day of?
No. The newest Blaze Blue Continuum Shift character just released 2 weeks ago.
No. Well, see, I haven't played that game in I don't know how long.
So those weren't on the disc.
I would assume that the reason why you can't play, why the other person can't see your character, is because their game doesn't actually have the actual data of the new character.
I understand that, Jason, but that's
why you patch the game.
Yeah, you release what's called a pack. Like, I mean, they did this for Marvel Ultimate Alliance, so that if you played and you didn't have the character, you still had it on your hard drive. You just couldn't play as it.
Right. I'm going to check again because there is a download that you can do, but from what I understand, it just said replays. So you can go to the replay channel and watch other people play as those characters. But anyway, I'll get to that whenever I bring up my Xbox and everything. But other than that, I started up a new character in Champions Online since they reminded me of it because, you know, it's on Steam now and it has 700 achievements. So yeah, I started a new character. Me being the dumbass, I made an ice guy, and I was like, I made him, like, his eyes are all white, so I named him Snowblind, and then I realized that's a fucking G.I. Joe character.
Yeah, yeah. I saw you tweet that. I'm like, G.I. Joe.
Yeah, it kind of pissed me off. I was like, fuck, that's G.I. Joe. And so I just left it. So I got a character on there named Snowblind if anybody wants to add me and play with me.
Is it still pay to play?
No, it is free to play.
It's free to play. Pay if you want anything good.
That's not true. That's
no,
not
that
true.
Is fucking yeah, true.
I mean, that's not necessary.
No, I'm having mean, I'm
not,
having
not
fun.
Champions. I mean, the you can still play and create a good character and have an enjoyable time without paying for anything.
But you want to pay because all there's a lot of good stuff.
There is a lot of good stuff, but I mean. The fact of the matter is, if you want, you can download, and I see it makes me mad when people complain about free-to-play, because the fact of the matter is, the game is free-to-play. It's free to download, it's free-to-play, you don't have to pay anything. I mean, it's like a Flash game online that you can play for free, only it's a full-fledged MMO.
Yeah.
And the stuff that you can buy, like if you want a travel power or whatever, it's 400 points, which is like, I don't know, $4. So, it's like, I mean, people complain about free-to-play, but it's free-to-play. You don't have to pay for anything. I mean, if you don't want to, you can play the full game for free. Just you can't have the expansions, and you can't use some of the powers or power groups.
All right, I got a little information. Download the free Super Street Fighter 4 update kit. You can now check out replays of Yin, Yang, Evil Ryu, and Oni, and that's all it says.
Well, if that's the case, Capcom just continues to suck it up in the fighting game department extras.
And the rest of them are costumes.
I mean, even they even had a costume patch to where you could like see the new costumes. So apparently they care more about costumes than characters.
I still have yet to download that patch. So every time somebody I play against somebody who uses an alternate costume, they have to use the regular costume because it says this person hasn't got the patch. And I was like, in your face, Guile. But anyway,
I guess that makes you feel good. And now Capcom bitch slapped you in the face and said, guess what? You can't play with anybody that doesn't download $15 add-on.
Grow up.
Well, I don't play with anybody anyway. I play ranked matches. But yeah, the Champions Online is fun. Like I said, but if I did want to try some of that cool stuff, the good thing is I have the option to just choose what I want instead of saying, you got to buy this whole fucking pack that has
or
a lot of shit
you
don't want.
You have to pay $15 every month
exactly.
to play this game, which is what it was when it came.
But yeah, I mean, it's fun. I mean, I'm having a lot of fun. You know, I partied up with one dude.
I set up on a press account. My first viewing Champions Online in a beta.
But,
Hello?
I hear you.
You guys hear me?
Yeah.
You're cutting out, though.
Oh, okay. Because I was, like, straight... Oh, okay. Because I was straight in the middle of a sentence, and Drew just starts talking over the top of me. So I thought maybe I was, you know, turning into Gambus Khan for a minute. And interrupt what I was talking about.
Oh, that's funny.
What I was saying before I was rudely interrupted by Drew, who's fondling I rudely interrupted first, was that I was set up on a press. I was lucky enough to be set up on a press account, and they accidentally had me set up to where I could buy everything on the store for free. So maybe I'm a little biased.
I was going to say, doesn't that kind of invalidate your argument?
No, because it's still. I mean, I played it before that with all the free stuff and still had fun with it. So.
But yeah, it's. I mean, I enjoy it. Other than that, I am started up Demon's Souls again with a new character. I did something weird, you know, because since I have so much downtime at work, I watched the hour long video of a guy beating Demon's Souls in an hour.
That can be done.
Yes, that can be done, and I'm basically doing what he did, except not fast.
I don't understand that.
Really?
He beat the entire game from start to finish in 1 hour, and the dude, he only killed the bosses. He didn't even touch anybody else.
I don't even understand the desire for that. Why would you want to beat the game in an hour?
To show that he can do it?
I guess.
But, yeah, I think I beat like three bosses, maybe four. Yeah, four bosses. I beat one this morning. But yeah, it's fun. You have to get back in that Demon's Souls mentality because I kept dying and I was like, wait, what? Wait, I died? You know, it's like, oh yeah, this is fucking Demon Souls. So,
dude, it took me an hour to beat the first boss.
Well, see, the funny thing is, I had played that so much whenever the game first came out, I didn't die once, no problem whatsoever getting to that boss and beating it. But, you know, the rest of them, I'm like, God, I can't remember how I beat this guy. So, I mean, Demon's Souls is one of those games where you kind of have to have a wiki up just to know, like, hey, what's this boss like? How do you beat this thing? And, like, it's so weird because it's like one of those games where they want you to glitch it almost to win. You know, you have to be really cheap.
You know, like a fighting game boss?
Yeah, you have to get like the boss like stuck on like a little tree or something like that, and then just keep hitting them until they get released from the tree, and then you run away from them. But I don't know. It's a great game though, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm going to continue playing some of that. That's pretty much all I played this week. Next week, or as far as when I'll be playing, looks like I'll be playing some more Demon's Souls. I think I may take a break from Infamous and do the good playthrough a little later on. Obviously, more Street Fighter. Probably getting some more Mortal Kombat. And two big games. Two games that I'll be reviewing. One of them is Shadows of Damned. And the other one will be Dungeon Siege 3. Against everybody's greater judgment, I am getting Dungeon Siege 3.
Well, I will tell you, after seeing the reviews and playing it myself, it looks like Obsidian may have finally got one right.
Thank Christ.
Yeah, I enjoyed the demo.
So, the early reviews are very positive.
Yeah, I've been reading them. It's just, it kills me about that GIMPed co-op.
The GIMPed co-op sucks. Sucks bad. Sucks real bad.
Yeah, you have no incentive whatsoever to play with somebody else.
Nope. Alright, so I guess we will move on to Mr. Whitehouse. Mr. W...
Yes, okay. Like Drew, I've played Infamous from start to finish, Infamous 2, that is. good guy, as opposed to his evil man. But then, I suppose, that just says a lot about Drew more than anything else.
No. Evil fits Cole better, man.
I know the game is called Infamous, so you would think that was the way it's meant to go, but, I just felt good as a way to go with it. But that's a great game. It takes everything about the first game and sort of enhances it. Only the camera and the slight stickiness of Cole, which unfortunately were present in the first game as well, have sort of leaked their way into this one. But everything else about it has been honed, and they make the game so easy to go and get all of the blast shards and do all of the side missions. The missions are so much more varied now than they were and more interesting. And I also think that the user-generated content, which although I don't think is going to be anywhere near as popular as something like Little Big Planet, I think will add something extra to it that might keep people going back. So again, a nice little move. I do find it quite complex. I had a little try of making up a level or a mission, and it is definitely complex, a lot more so than Little Big Planet, but I should imagine that people have already got the hang of it. There's probably some excellent levels out there already, I'm sure of it. So played a hell of a lot of that. Also played, again like Drew, a little bit of Champions Online, since it was on Steam, free to play now. Haven't played that game before. In actual fact, I don't think I've actually played an MMO before. Yeah, it's alright. It runs fine on my computer, when my computer was working, which it isn't now. But it probably Champions Online's fault, really. played fine. Yeah. Created a character, which, again, yeah, as you say, there's lots of choice. There's lots of variety and customization, even for a free-to-play one. You know, you can really put your stamp on there, as opposed to seeing 15 people that look virtually identical out in the online world. So that was quite good. Done a couple of the opener missions. I prefer playing with the gamepad. It does have some form of gamepad support. support, but not all of it, unfortunately. So it makes it a little bit awkward, sort of going from mouse and keyboard over to the joypad. But yeah, that was all right. Can't grumble. Seems it was free. I've also been playing for review, probably one of the worst first-person shooters I've ever played.
Oh my god. I know somebody's falling in the grave.
You see, I'm playing it for review, and I normally would sort of hold back on my real opinion of a game so that you can go and read the review, kind of entice you in. However, my review's not going to go up for a few days, and there may be people going to fork out hard-earned money on this game. And I can't risk that. I can't have it lying on my conscience. Greg Hastings' Paintball 2 is goddamn awful. Now, admittedly, if... I mean, I've never played paintball before. I don't know. You know, to be fair, this could be a spot-on realisation of that outdoor sport. But if that's the case, I'm never going to play paintball for real. It's really, really poorly made. It looks terrible. And I know it's a downloadable title, but it's still an expensive downloadable title. I think it's $20. And it's got a full set of trophy lists, including a platinum, so it's not classed as a PSN sort of downloadable game. But it is absolutely terrible. It plays sluggishly. Your marker and the paintball gas cylinder thing takes up pretty much half of the screen when you're playing. It just feels terrible. I will have a full review and I will, you know, go into detail, but please, unless you're a real diehard fan of either Greg Hastings or paintball, please avoid it. There are a lot of things out there better than that. Sorry?
I said, oh, Greg Hastings.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Is he like a professional paintballer? I mean, I don't know much about the sport. I didn't know they had professional paintball.
Tell you what, in actual fact, that's the one outstanding thing about the game, is in between your matches and loading screens, it comes up with a picture and a little bit of a fact about paintballing. And oh my god, that's a proper sport. There are all sorts involved in that. For going back many, many years. I mean, it's really funny when they show team shots, and essentially it looks like 8 IT guys who want to go to war. So they've got the big glasses and the dodgy mustaches, and it's hilarious. But yes, there are people who take them seriously. And finally, Jason, I have been playing Zelda 3D.
Really?
Yeah, picked it up on Friday.
Oh, so how is it?
It's awesome. It's really, really good. As with most 3D games for the Nintendo, you will turn the 3D off after about 5 minutes.
What's the point?
This kind of just really reiterates, what an earth is the point of that, the 3D option. I know it's a gimmick, it has to have a gimmick because it's Nintendo, but they could have just called this the DS2 because it's obviously far more powerful, the screen's bigger, it controls better, the thumbstick's great, but I mean the 3D's nice, but you just turn it off because the game doesn't look in 3D, but it looks a lot better when you turn it off, and that's exactly the same for Zelda. When you switch the 3D off, it looks incredibly lush. It's got visuals. You know how when you play a game, when you reminisce how you play the game, and you always reminisce thinking it actually, you think it looks better than it did? Do you ever get that?
That's common.
Yeah.
This is exactly how you remember it, so it looks incredible. It's smooth animation, plays well. They really do a good job with the other 3DS sort of functionality, such as the gyroscope, so aiming and things like that. They come into play where you move the console. I mean, that's another thing. Why do you have to have the 3D on when you're moving your DS in front of you to try to aim at something, the pointless having the 3D on, because you know it goes all blurry and it doesn't look right. But they do take advantage of that sort of thing with the catapult. You know, when you move the DS, you know, your scenery changes and you can aim that way, or you can aim with the thumbstick. It's entirely up to you. But it just looks incredible. The sound's brilliant. It is perfect. And although they probably won't, because Majora's Mask wasn't exactly as good or as popular as Ocarina of Time, I think that would be a good step to go to maybe get, using the same engine, get that one knocked out as well. I think those two games have found a perfect new home.
So I mean, it's reassuring, at least.
They've done a great job. I mean, look, to be fair, I'm only sort of an hour and a half into it. I've not played it a lot, because it got released here on Friday. But from what I've seen so far, they've done a bang-up job of converting that over to the small screen. It looks wonderful, plays brilliantly, and I'm really pleased to... You know, I've not played that since I had an N64, so it's a long time ago since I played that game, and it's really nice to go back to that. You know, probably, in my opinion, the best Zelda game that they ever made. So it's really nice, and I'd like to see some bundles out there with this, because this could be a system seller. This could probably get some extra consoles off shelves if you stuck this game with it, done offers and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's my opinion anyway. And that's all I've played this week. It's been pretty quiet with Infamous taking up a lot of my time. Next week, I'm unfortunately going to have to play some more Greg Hastings. There's no getting around that. I've also got a game that literally just fell off the map, really, or fell onto the map. Akimi Village, which is made by Ninja Bee, the people behind Kingdom of Kefling. Now, it's a PS3 exclusive game, and from what I hear, it's very similar to Keflings. It's a kind of similar idea, gameplay wise. So I'm going to be interested in that, because I did like both World and Kingdom of Keflings, and I think I may go back to Darksiders, because all the E3 talk of Darksiders 2 and the trailers and stuff have made me want to go back and play that game. So I think I'll give that a go, and possibly, if funds allow it, I may go and get Alice.
Oh, such a beautiful game.
Yes, well, I mean, to be fair, you've coerced me, I suppose. You know, from what you've said about it being so good and, you know, beautiful looking game and, you know, a nice sequel to a classic, let's face it, the original was a classic. It's kind of made me want to go and get it. It definitely piqued my interest.
Well, you know, you get the original when you buy it.
Yeah, I think that's quite a good little deal as well, especially seeing as people who didn't play the original, maybe because they were a bit too young, they're unlikely to be PC players, and now you can get it on your console for free when you buy it, so I think that's a great little incentive.
That's the way you do the online pass.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's works. I think everyone should be happy for that.
Well, I guess that brings it up to me, and I've played a lot.
I don't get to talk about what I played this week.
Yeah, Wombat.
Just said, did you get Wombat or something?
Fuck you, Wombat.
Jeez, oh, Pete. I mean, all right, well, it's been nice talking to you guys. I'll catch you next week. Happy Father's Day.
Well, to be fair, Brian, if we didn't want to talk about games from 1995, we'd get buy a copy of Retro Gamer.
All right, well, you go right ahead.
Jeez, I mean, I don't even know if I can now. Guess what? I finally beat Dragon Age 2.
Hey!
How did it feel beating a game the same year it came out?
How did it feel to beat Dragon Age?
It felt even better. It felt better beating a game that you haven't beat. I said it on Twitter last night. I really liked the game. I liked it a lot, actually. I just didn't, I didn't get drawn into it like I did the first game.
No.
I mean, anybody who's, I'm not going to spoil anything, but anybody who's played it knows that the game's sort of divided into three acts. And I felt like basically what happened was, they had three different ideas for the game. And they kind of put them all in there and then just tried to find a way to tie them together at the end. And I mean, I don't know. It just, it wasn't as consistent or as coherent as the first game was for me. There were some quests that were, you know, really good, and there were some that were just terrible that I felt like they were never going to end. The game is, it's the first BioWare game that I can ever remember being 35 hours into and just praying to God that it would end. Normally I get towards the end of their games and I'm like, shit, I'm like trying to find anything I can do to keep the game going. That's the mark of a good long game to me. Is it, if I'm 35 hours in and I know I'm getting close to the end and it makes me sad that I'm getting close to the end, that's a good game. If I get 35 hours in and I'm close to the end and I'm like, God, will you shut up so I can get to the end, please? Then that tells me that I must not be enjoying it as much as I kind of thought I did. Drew, we can talk off the air, maybe if Ken shuts his ears or something about the ending that I got. But I don't know. I mean, to me, the ending was kind of a letdown, if I'm being honest, that I got.
For me.
I don't know. I just, you know, I gotta say, I'm a little disappointed in how everything shook out.
At least tell me this: who did you have sex with?
Isabella.
That's a bit of a personal question, isn't it?
Isabella is who I romanced.
Okay, I got you.
I actually finished the romance.
Is that what they call it nowadays? Is that what you?
Yeah, I finished the romance. On time. But no, I'm glad that it's over because it opens me up to play some other stuff now that I've been wanting to play. I've got some other stuff sitting around that I haven't had a chance to play yet, so
it opens me
a little bit. Yeah, Pac-Man is a good one. I'm hearing great things about this game position. So I'd like to check that out. No. But it's funny you mention that. Because my other fondling this week, for one reason or another, and I know I'm just going to go ahead and isn't that like your fondling every week? There, I made the joke before you guys. I've been in kind of a retro PC gaming mode lately. So all within the last, I don't know, week and a half, I've installed onto my PC
some Tandy games.
No,
because that would be retro for you.
The first two games, so Thief 1 and Thief 2, the first three Elder Scrolls games, Arena, Daggerfall, and Morrowind, Serious Sam, and actually I've got the original Hitman 2, I haven't decided if I'm going to install it on there yet or not, and then the Ultima collection that I have with the Ultima games on it. So I've been kind of picking in and out of games like that for a little while, a little Warcraft 3. Just for, I don't know, for one reason or another, I've been in that kind of mode lately. So, but I really do think I want to invest a little time, because to be honest, what I'd planned to play next after I finished Dragon Age 2 was Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, because I have it here and I just haven't played it yet because I wanted to finish Dragon Age 2 first. I just don't know that I can commit myself to Assassin's Creed Brotherhood right now. I'm still kind of coming off Dragon Age, so I don't know if I can invest myself in another, game that's going to really obsess my time like that, and that's going to take forever to beat. So what I might do is just stick around with some of those games for a little while and play some, you know, play some Serious Sam to get some Twitch shooter out, and play some Thief for some stealth action, and, you know, that kind of stuff, and get that sort of out of my system before I try and launch into Brotherhood, because I know, I mean, you know, my mode lately is one game at a time, usually, so I'm going to go on kind of a little bit of this, little bit of that binge for a little while and get myself out of that funk. I downloaded Dead Nation and Super Stardust HD. as my free welcome back to PlayStation. Sorry we gave out your information to hackers program. I played a little bit of Dead Nation. I gotta be honest with you, I wish I would have downloaded Infamous for free instead and traded the copies that I have in. I don't like it. I started to play Super Stardust HD, and then my PlayStation controller died and would not accept the USB charge, which tells me that since Sony, in their infinite wisdom, decided to not have a replaceable battery in their controllers, that I'm probably to the point where I'm going to have to replace my controller.
Now, that's not necessarily true. Mine did that one time, too, and I couldn't figure it out. Then all of a sudden, it just started working again, so don't give up just yet.
Well, I don't know. I tried it in my PlayStation, in all the USB ports on my PlayStation, with two different USB cords, and in my computer with two different USB cords, and it wouldn't take a charge on either one.
Don't they guarantee your controllers for life?
I doubt that. Not with a lithium battery.
No, no way.
About that.
I'm sure they do over here.
Well, they're crazy over there.
Yeah, not.
I'm sure I read somewhere that if it fails, then they'll replace it. You send it in, and they'll either put a new battery in or send you a new one.
Well, I kind of need a new one anyway because my LQ button sticks. Because my son may have grabbed something and knocked the controller off of a shelf, and it landed forcefully to the ground.
That's not good.
But that was a while ago, and it's worked fine since then, so I know that's not what's causing the battery issue. But so right now, I'm using, through the miracle of technology, I'm playing my PS3 with a PlayStation 2 controller.
Wow.
Retro.
So, yeah. So that's what I'm telling myself, that I'm keeping it old school. But luckily I bought for my Street Fighter tournament, or my Street Fighter 25th anniversary, or whatever, 15th anniversary stick, I bought a USB to PS2 adapter a couple years ago. So I'm using that with my PlayStation 2 controller, and seems to be working pretty well so far, so I don't know. We'll see what happens there. The only problem is I don't have any access to the... I don't have a PlayStation button, obviously. So I don't have any access to that. So I pretty much just have to reset my system anytime I want to back out of anything. Which is pretty awesome. Anyways, that's pretty much wraps it up for me. So future funneling is going to be some old PC games and maybe Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, depending on what it takes me to.
Good lord, you have no time to play games and you installed the three Elder Scrolls games?
I know.
Holy shit, man.
But, I mean, they're on my... I mean, my laptop is... it's easier for me to game on my laptop usually, so... what's funny, though, is it's a laptop that it's so old that the battery is completely dead, which is a recurring theme today, by the way. If this was Sesame Street, the episode would have been sponsored by a dead battery. My laptop has to be plugged in at all times or it dies, so it's not really very portable. Probably be better off with just a desktop at this point.
Yeah, maybe you just put it on your desk, add a keyboard and a mouse, and just be done with it.
There you go. Then it'll actually be a desktop.
Exactly. Okay, well, I guess now I can go.
Yeah.
My attempt to skip you didn't work.
It did not.
Foiled again.
I know. Well, you know, for the first time since I bought this stupid thing, I finally play my 3DS regularly. And it's because of one game, obviously, which is Dead or Alive, which is still, in my opinion, the best game. I will be getting Zelda for review, so... You know, that may change my opinion a little, but I doubt that I will play Zelda in 10-minute spurts like I do DOA.
Yeah, DOA is good for that.
So,
are you a fan of Zelda?
Yeah, I love Zelda.
Okay.
You
definitely
love Zelda.
Yeah, no, I was just curious.
Actually, I can tell you somebody who doesn't love Zelda, and it wouldn't be a shock to you.
Who?
It'd be K-Dub.
Wolverine.
Oh, of course he doesn't love Zelda. He doesn't love anything that actually has a soul. You'd rather play, I don't know, some generic shooter with horrible emo music playing over top of it. Because neither one of those has a soul.
No, emo music does not have a soul. And I will respectfully disagree.
If it did have a soul, its soul would just sit in a corner all day and cry.
And cut itself.
Cut itself.
I have to respectfully disagree with Mr. Whitehouse that Ocarina was the best game ever.
Oh, yeah, I can completely understand that a lot of people think maybe some of the older titles were, but in my opinion, that was my favorite of the lot.
See, for me, it's Link to the Past.
Yeah.
The original Late to the Party, if you're looking at acronyms.
Yep.
Link's Awakening was really good, too.
Yes, the GBA one.
Well, either one. I mean, they had it was originally Game Boy. The DX version of it.
DX. Yeah.
Well, that's on the virtual console now, isn't it? Or the DSi store.
Is there one of them that's going to be free? Or no, that's Four Swords.
Yeah, Four Swords is the free one.
Because nobody actually bought that.
Right.
But also on my 3DS, I have played Cartoon Network Punch Time Explosion. And that that was not for leisure in any stretch of the imagination. And it's a terrible Super Smash Bros. Clone. And just like everything else on the 3DS, the 3D just goes... my Switch doesn't even turn on anymore. I turn it on for like 3 seconds and I'm like, oh, look, neat, done. So, and I also have Transformers, which I have yet to play. Because I wanted to finish the big brother versions first. So, like almost everybody else, I also played Infamous 2. I actually beat it before it came out. So, it's been a long time since I've played it. Fantastic game. Definitely in my list right now for games of the year.
Really?
That was a really fun game. I really wanted to spend more time with it, but they basically sent it to me on Friday and told me to review it by Tuesday. So I had to kind of run through it, so I didn't get to spend as much time as I'd wanted with it. So I'm hoping to go back to it once I dig through this giant pile of games that I'm currently playing, which is always fun. Over the past 2 weeks, I'll try to go through the not-so-good ones quicker. I played Hunted the Demon's Forge, which I was actually excited about. And maybe it's better in co-op, but the problem is I can't find anybody that actually bought the damn game.
I played a little bit in co-op, and it ain't that fun.
So, that one, yeah, luckily I didn't have to review it. They didn't send me one, so my dumbass bought it, and I kind of wish I hadn't. But since I did buy it, I feel compelled to beat it. So, it's on my stack of stuff to play. It just feels generic, I think, is its biggest problem. There's just nothing special about it. That and the fact that the voice acting is absolutely atrocious. Some of that dialogue is just ridiculous. So, eventually I will go back and I guess play through it. Just because, like I said, I feel compelled when I spend money on a game that I actually beat it. Speaking of another game I paid money for, and I don't know why. I guess it was just because I had credit laying around. I bought the Green Lantern.
No.
And I should know that I shouldn't spend money on licensed games. But thankfully, this game wasn't that bad. If you can actually believe it, it is a God of War clone.
Wow.
If that
I
makes
can believe it, yeah.
Yeah, if that makes any kind of sense. It's really short, though. It's probably about 4 hours.
Which system?
I played it on 360.
Okay.
Anytime I buy a multi-platform game, I buy it on 360. I mean, it's a licensed game. It's not terrible. I'm surprised Ryan Reynolds actually did the voice, which that was kind of shocking.
Contractual obligation!
You know, the game is put out by Warner Brothers, so, you know.
Oh, okay.
But no, it's not a terrible game. I suggest if you're a fan of the Green Lantern and, you know, they've never really made a game about the Green Lantern.
That's true.
So, I mean, if you're a fan, I'd say, you know, when it hits $20, which it will hit $20, it's worth a playthrough. It's not a terrible game, it's just extremely short. And it even has co-op, which is kind of cool.
Who do you play as in the co-op?
I don't know. I didn't actually play co-op. I just played through by myself, but I don't know who you would play as in co-op, because even in the story, Jordan is by himself.
Maybe it's just two Jordans.
It's possible. A good old generic co-op where you just play as the same dude.
Yeah, the Dead Rising 2 style.
Or like the mute guy in Resistance. Also, to tantalize John some more, I played Alice. Reviewed Alice. Loved Alice. Don't understand what crack these reviewers are smoking that are giving it fives and sixes. The game is beautiful. It plays fantastic. The combat is awesome. It's huge. I'm 6 hours... I think I was 6 hours in before I hit chapter 3 of 5. I mean, if that just gives you kind of an example of how big it is. I've heard between 15 and 17 hours, depending on how much you do. The voice acting is phenomenal. I literally wanted to call John, though, because I didn't understand half of what they were saying. They use extreme British dialect. Everything from, you know...
Go by me, governor!
Well, no. Not thick accents, but actual terminology.
Okay.
So, there's like, sometimes I'm sitting there trying to read it, I'm like, and they do like a conversation, I'm like, what the fuck did they just say? So, but it's fantastic. The voice of the Cheshire Cat is incredible, and he's hilarious. I love the concept behind the Alice games. The fact that, you know, she's in a nut house, she's insane, and she's actually, you know, Wonderland is a figment of her imagination, and it's just that dark and twisted. And seeing things like the Mad Hatter with like no arms and no legs, and just, it's twisted.
Well, see, Rayman.
Well, no, I mean, he literally has his arms and legs cut off.
Oh, okay.
And he's wearing a straight jacket, which is... it just, like, completely just, like, obliterates your childhood memories of these characters. The Dormouse with wheels for legs instead of actual legs.
I ain't got no legs!
It's a twisted world, and it's fantastic, like, the way they've built the game. It is a really beautiful game, and I love how they implement stuff from the story, like the shrinking potion is actually like the detective vision from Batman. So like when you're shrunk, you can also have this vision where you can see different things.
Who made this game?
It's made by Spicy Horse is the name of the developer. Yeah.
Has he done anything before?
I believe they did the first Alice. And it's American McGee who...
Is it still under that name, American McGee's Alice?
Yeah. And the thing about American McGee is, like, he worked for id, is really his big claim to fame. So, he worked on Doom, Doom 2, Quake, Quake 2, Hexen, Heretic.
Heretic.
So, I mean, that's...
And he also did the Postal games.
American McGee?
Didn't he? No. What was that? Bad Day LA. That was the game.
Yeah, he did that in Scrapland, which both of those games were crap.
Yes, that's what it was. Not Postal. It was that shitty ass Bad Day LA.
Yeah, he was involved with those. But his Alice games are really good, and this one is fantastic. I suggest anyone that enjoys platforming games pick it up. It's a heavy platformer with mixed in action. So, it's, and just the universe is twisted as all hell, and it's fantastic. And like everybody in the world this week, Duke Nukem came out after 14 years, and I played through it, and I enjoyed it.
Okay.
And that's about all I'm going to say about it.
Now, that's not fair. We need to hear the details.
What details do you want? It's a Duke Nukem game. I mean, if it literally feels like they took Duke Nukem 3D and just made it a, you know, upgraded
version.
Shooter for...
An actual 3D version.
An actual 3D version in 2002. And we just got it.
I mean, should it have been released?
Yes, of course it should have been released, because people like me who wanted to play it. And I think that's the misconception of all this hoopla that's going on around. You know what? There are a lot of people who had no interest in this game and nobody wanted to play it, and that's fine. I don't understand why they care. The thing that pissed me off the most about this whole controversy is these idiot, and you know, I'm not going to name names, but these idiot fucking reviewers who stand on their little soapbox and say that if I buy the game, I'm part of the problem. That I'm an idiot for buying the game? No, I have my own tastes, it's what I wanted to play, and I enjoyed it. And fuck you for being on your high horse. I mean...
I knew a few people who actually wanted to play the game, because they said, oh, I have fond memories of Duke Nukem, and then they played it and they said, this game really sucks.
Yeah, and that's fine if you want to have that opinion. But you can't... my problem is you can't go into this game expecting it to be a 14-year game. We all know it was a joke. I mean, the game was through development hell for 10 years.
That's true.
It's crap. We knew it was going to be crap. It was never finished. It wasn't finished when they shipped it. Gearbox basically came in and made it playable from beginning to end, which it is entirely playable from beginning to end. It is not broken.
So, should it be $60?
I don't think it should be $60, maybe. But if you're going to make your money off the people who want to buy it, why not? It's a business decision. You know, it's just like anything else. You know, should every game be $60? No, probably not. If they'd release this on XBLA for $20, nobody has said anything. And I think that's... it is what it is. Should you buy it? No, probably not. Not unless you're like me and you just really want to play through it. I mean, I literally got messages on Xbox Live. It was like, oh my god, I can't believe you just beat Duke Nukem Forever. It's more like a, holy crap, after 14 years, it's finished. You're done with it. So, I'm not going to defend the game in any way. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that people should have bought it.
You're not fun, damn it.
But I will call out any reviewer who calls anybody who buys it stupid. I think you're a dick, and fuck you. And seriously, that's the way I feel. You know, it's your job to critique a game, tell me what's wrong with it, which if you read my Duke Nukem review, I will tell you everything that's wrong with it. There's a lot wrong with it.
Yeah.
It's a 2002 game that's been released in 2011. And, you know, I enjoyed some of that stuff. You know, some of the stupid mechanics that they don't use anymore, because everything has to be a scripted event here and a scripted event there. Should it be in every game? Fuck no. There's a reason why we've evolved... But, you know, I enjoyed the hell out of it. And my wife was watching me as I beat the game, and she just looked at me because literally the final boss, you kill him, and then you rip out his eye, and then you piss in his eye socket. And she's like, what the fuck are you playing? I said, it's Duke. And that's all you need to say. So there.
Well, there you go. You said your piece.
I did.
I will never play it. Let's put it that way.
You know what? You probably shouldn't, because you'll play it and you'll be like, I don't understand why anybody would enjoy this game.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I played Duke Nukem 3D and Duke Nukem 1, 2 and stuff like that. And, you know, first time, yeah, it was goofy fun, but I don't know.
That time was a different time.
You know what? Here's a perfect example of this. I played through Duke. It's full of giant toilet humor, offensive things, and stuff like that. You know what? People say, okay, that was cool in 1990, whatever. When you play Shadows of the Damned, come back and talk to me.
Oh, good.
Because...
yeah, that's not cool either.
What?
Are you talking about the fact that his gun's called the boner?
No, dude.
That's stupid. That's not funny.
Seriously, Shadows of the Damned is a fantastic game, but that game has more offensive innuendo than Duke Nukem at some points.
Dude, you had me at Stephen Bloom doing a Hispanic accent.
Well, the fact that every time he goes to kill, like, every time you fight a boss, he goes, "Before I kill you, demon, I will carve my name in your flesh, and that's Garcia fucking Hotspur."
Wow.
Which I guess I will lead into that, because I am loving that fucking game.
Yes.
It's so stupid.
I can't fucking wait for that game.
There are literally there are literally books that he stops and reads, and they're stories about the bosses. and to hear him read it, because like he'll read a big word and he can't pronounce it, so he'll say it real slow like he's trying to sound it out. And just the stories are hilarious.
Like, is this Shadows of the Damned?
Yeah, Shadows of the Damned.
Isn't this a Suda 51?
It's a Suda 51 written game, but developed by Shinji Mikami, which I think should be from the future the way it should go, because Suda doesn't know how to make game mechanics.
I don't start that. No More Heroes worked.
Bucky is crazy.
He is, and I seriously, after playing this game, I need to say one thing about Suda 51. He needs to get laid.
he loves, like, sexual innuendos.
Dude, there's not even a sex, like, your gun's called the boner.
Yeah.
When you upgrade it, it's called the hot boner.
Yep.
And in order to, there's a segment in the game where you call a, well, like, 1-900 number and the girl talks to your gun, who is, I believe, voiced by Nolan North, if I'm not mistaken.
The gun.
His name's Johnson.
But he's British, right?
Yeah, he's British. But there's a segment where he calls a 1-900 number, and he gets really big, and it's called the Big Boner. And every time you shoot somebody with it in this segment, he's like, "Taste my big boner."
Seriously?
I'm not kidding. There was a segment where I walked in between some giant boobs. There's been several occasions where I'm playing this game and I just genuinely laugh because it's so stupid, it's funny. But if you back up and you actually look at the game itself, it's a very Resident Evil action-y game. Very similar to 4 and 5. I really don't know what else to say about it. There's not really... I mean, there's a few dark and light puzzles. That's kind of the big catch, is you play between the dark and the light. When you're in the dark, you're constantly damaged. And when you're not in the dark, you have to shoot, like, these lamps with your light shot in order to light them up. Or, you know, do different things to make sure that you're always in the light. Because when you're in the dark, you start to lose health. It takes place in hell or... whatever, the demons. You're going after the demons who kidnapped your girlfriend.
She's always naked, too.
She's always in her lingerie.
Did they kidnap the guy from River City Ransom's girlfriend, too?
They punched her in the stomach. You know, spousal abuse is good. But here, I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
If you think punching a girl in the stomach and Double Dragon is bad, wait till you see what these demons do to his girlfriend.
I don't even want to think about it.
Oh my god. This is a sick game. There's no doubt about it that Suda 51 does heavy drugs, needs to get laid, and might need to be in a mental institution. But it's entertaining. I am really enjoying the game. I'm actually on chapter 4 of 5, and I kind of want to finish that game now.
How many hours in, you think?
4 hours. It actually has a counter.
So you think, what do you think about maybe 7-8 hour game?
Yeah, roughly 6 to 8 hours, somewhere in between there.
Okay.
I know chapters 4 and 5 are a lot longer. Like, chapter 1 had 2 acts, chapter 3 had like 3 acts. Chapters 4 and 5 both have like 5 and 6 acts. So, and I will say this about Shadows and Duke both combined. They both have something that I've missed for a very long time, and that's giant over-the-top bosses. Video games just don't do that anymore. Infamous did it. That's another game. I love giant, crazy bosses. And both Shadows of the Damned and Duke Nukem both did that, as did Infamous. So, I'm pretty stoked about that. Moving on, because I have still a lot more. I did play Dungeon Siege for about an hour. I do like what I've played of it so far. I'm a little more comfortable with a ranged character because of the speed.
Using the gun woman?
Yeah, I'm using Katarina because I didn't like the melee, so I wanted to use a ranged character. So I'm playing as her, and I like it a little bit more. I still love everything about the game, like the upgrade system, the menus, the loot. I just have a real big issue with that slow combat, which it's been remedied since I'm playing ranged now. And I have a huge issue with the co-op, which just kind of ruins that for me.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can you play co-op on the same system?
Yes.
Yes.
Sweet.
That would be the best way to play it.
Yeah, it really is, because the rest of it's just crap.
Now, let me ask you this, because I was thinking about going with the range woman first as well. You know how each character has a secondary, you know, like if you play as the warrior, he uses a sword and shield, but if you use a secondary stance, he uses a two-handed weapon.
Yes.
What's the gun woman do?
She uses a pistol and shotgun.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Instead of a rifle. It's the Wombat would be all over this, because literally I'm like an hour into the game and I've already picked up like 16 weapons. So it's like I get a new piece of loot every 5 feet.
Nice.
So, yeah, I haven't played it enough to speak a lot about it, but I am definitely happy that I bought it.
Oh. Yeah.
So, it may actually satisfy. There's one other complaint, Drew, that I've heard people talking about, is it's short.
Yeah.
It's like 10 hours.
Yeah.
Which is not short for some games, but for a dungeon-crawling loot game, That's pretty short.
See, the thing is, though, this is just me, though, like with especially with like dungeon crawling games where you can make different class characters. I'm probably going to play through that game maybe once or twice, maybe even three times with different characters.
Yeah, that's the one saving grace, is that the characters will be different, so. Okay, now we'll move on to the next game I'm playing, which is Child of Eden. That's another one of those Japanese games that's really kind of unique in its own aspect. It reminds me a lot of Rez, which doesn't surprise anybody because it's made by the same guy.
Right.
It has a very weird story.
It has a story? I didn't even know it had a story.
Yeah, if you decide to pay attention to it, it has a very weird story about how this woman was created in space. And then she died and then was resurrected in the internet. And you have like I said, don't try to think about it too much. Your head may explode.
Your head explodes.
But bringing a game like Rez onto the 360 or the PS3 is just beautiful. Like, there's so much craziness going on the screen. It really is a trip. Like, I can only play one level at a time because otherwise I think my eyes might melt. I have not had a chance to play it with Kinect. I know that's everybody's big question, is because it was really kind of built for Kinect.
I thought it was only for Kinect.
I do.
No, it's not. It uses the game is on PS3.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, me neither.
You can use a controller with it.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of people say they prefer the controller because you're more accurate, but I've heard the Kinect experience is very, very cool. So, like I said, I've only played through one level so far, so I'm going to play some more of that this week, but it really will make your eyes melt. I also played through Transformers, Dark of the Moon, which I was, after playing War for Cybertron, I was totally pumped for this game because I'm a huge Transformers fan, and War for Cybertron was like the definitive Transformers game. And then apparently High Moon Studios either got rushed, or I don't know what happened, but they took out the co-op, which there was 3-player co-op through the campaign in War for Cybertron. That's gone. They also took out the Horde mode, Escalation. That's gone. The campaign is also maybe 1/3 of the size of War for Cybertron. Took me about 4.5 hours to beat it. The only thing that stayed was the competitive multiplayer, which is still really good, but everything else about this game is disappointing. And that makes me sad. Because you had War for Cybertron, which was great, and then High Moon comes back to do a on-Earth Transformers with all the characters in their like vehicle forms that you remember, and then it kind of goes in the shitter. So, I was very disappointed in that. Did play one match of Mortal Kombat with Drew.
Yeah.
In which we were both extremely rusty.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, man, I can't believe how bad I am. But you know what? Future fondling, Mortal Kombat Scarlet comes out on Tuesday, and it's time for me to pick the game back up and master it back up again.
You forget one important fact that while we were playing...
There was no lag. Kombat,
there you go.
No lag whatsoever.
My connection is flawless.
So that's exciting.
Flawless connection.
Duke actually says that in his game. Duke wins. Fatality!
Wow. It just makes it even more lame.
Oh, please. Please. I still think the best line in that game is when they go, Duke, you need to do this for America, and he goes, America, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Keeping up the Duke Nukem tradition of stealing all the cool lines from everything else.
Oh, Jesus. Just like your two humans stole mythology?
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
Well, yeah, it's different, because I stole it. Anyway. And the last game that I played is Fear 3. Which, if you're a fan of the Fear games, this is kind of the full circle, where you get to play as Point Man and Paxton Fettel in the twisted story of crazy ladies giving birth and pregnating demons.
Yeah,
this game's fucked up. It's if you've ever tried to follow the story, it'll make your brain hurt.
So Alma is the main character of Fear 2's mom.
Well, she's
but at the end of Fear 2, she has sex with him.
No. That was a different guy. That was a different guy. Point Man is the character from the first game.
All right.
And the guy in the second game is a soldier who just is a soldier, and he impregnates her. Or maybe he is Point Man. Fuck, I can't follow the story.
He is Point Man. Is Point Man.
Okay, well, Point Man is her son, yes.
And they have a kid together.
But Paxton Fettel is also Point Man's brother.
Yes, and he shot him.
Yeah, he shot him in the head. And in the third game, you know, crazy story aside, the third game is fan-fucking-tastic. It plays phenomenally. It has co-op through the entire game. Campaign mode. It also brings in like the zombie / horde mode.
Fucking run.
And fucking run is awesome.
Now, is it still scary? Do they still try and have those scare moments?
Oh, definitely, definitely. There's a lot of creepy stuff going on. I've jumped quite a few times at different things. It's hard to talk about Fear. If you've never played Fear, it's just a creepy atmosphere. Very, very dark game. But what this feels like the refined, perfected version of Fear. Like, it plays so good, and it's paced so well that you just can't help but love and enjoy it. It's just really a ton of fun. And I'm really hoping somebody else picks it up this week so that I can play through co-op, because the co-op seems awesome. And I love the idea that it does challenges now to upgrade your character. So, like, if you do 3 kills in slow motion, or you kill 30 people with this gun, it kind of, like, has a metagame going on at the same time, which is actually really kind of addictive.
Mm.
So, I am loving this game. It's a fantastic game. I can't wait to... And that's the problem, is all these games come out, and they're all so damn good. And I'm trying to play Fear and Shadows of the Damned at the same time, and with Dungeon Siege sitting on the back burner, and fucking Alice still sitting there, and it's just like... Dude, there's too much. I can't wait until these games stop coming out for a month or so I can actually play them.
You're not kidding, dude.
Oh, my God. It's tough. I actually did finish 2 games this weekend, which I finished Transformers and Duke Nukem Forever. So that's 2 off of my checklist. Shadows of the Damned and Fear are next. And as far as future fondling goes, Mortal Kombat DLC drops on Tuesday. So I'll be playing that again. I also bought Arcana Heart and Back to the Future episodes on PSN.
Have you played Arcana Heart?
I played it for 2 minutes. I didn't want to talk about it because I only played 1 fight.
Okay.
So, I mean, I haven't really had enough time to dive into it and really give an opinion on it, so... And the Back to the Future, I'm guessing the 5th episode is not out, because I only got 4.
No, it's not out yet. It's coming out the 28th, I believe.
Okay, well, it's dependent on when I get time to actually play those. Because I've heard they were good, and it was $20 for the season pass, so I just went ahead and bought it. Because with Arcana Heart, I had to buy a $50 card.
Yeah, shit's expensive.
So, I was like, fuck it. So I bought a $50 card, and I'm like, hey, what else should I buy? And I'm like, oh, look, Back to the Future is $20. So that'll be my other $20.
Why don't you just put your credit card on there?
Why don't you just kiss my ass? Because I will tell you this. I found out my Xbox Live still had my credit card on it this weekend, so I had to have that removed, which I had to call them
Yeah, you do. That's really... I think that's bang out of order.
Yeah, you gotta call them, answer all your security questions, then you have to cancel your Xbox Live subscription, and then they send you a code for... Which, they actually kind of made it up to me, because I had 10 months left on my account, and they gave me a 12-month code. So I thought that was pretty cool. So, you know, now I have 12 more months of Xbox Live, and my credit card's not on there anymore.
I heard that it's been hacked.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in news, because that's not really true.
Ah.
But that's pretty much it. That wraps up fondling. All right, now that the fondling is over, it's time to do a little bit of news, post-E3 news.
And now, news for... You know what? Why do I even do this anymore? Last week, some idiot came on and just said, give me that money, blah, and everybody went nuts over it. So I don't even know why I'm bothering doing this anymore. Fuck you guys. Here's zero tolerance.
Give me that money, blah.
That's all right, baby. Boy. I'm taking over, man. I'll get that money from you, boy.
Give me that money, boy.
Here, you better get that money, boy.
Oh, that thing went nuts.
Yeah, that was awesome.
All right, so we have new costumes. Sorry.
Ooh, someone just opened up Dead or Alive.
We have new costumes.
I love it. It's like a little Christmas every day. Open up your 3DS.
It's awesome. You take it out with you, and then all of a sudden you get shitloads of stuff when you get home. It's brilliant. I love Street Pass.
Yeah, it should have been called the 3D the DS Street Pass. That's what they should have called it. Anyway, the former Infinity Ward heads say the Activision lawsuit is likely headed to trial. So we're still talking about this. So
what, sorry?
The Activision Infinity Ward thing.
Oh, well, God.
This is going to drag on for... what's the point in talking about it? I mean, they're both going to stick to their guns on this. You know, Activision are not going to back down, and with the support of EA, West and Zampella are going to try and stick to their guns. You know that they're not going to get the Modern Warfare, you know, the license or the IP. Activision will win this. They'll probably won't even finish going to court. There'll be some kind of out of court settlement where everything gets hush hush and people will get what they want.
You know what I think? I think West and Zampella should just shut up and make a game.
They should do what they do, but what they should do to stick it to Activision is make a cracking game for EA that blows water out of Call of Duty. But at the moment, it's all about this lawsuit, and you know, you have to wonder how much of a game's actually being made at the moment while this is all going on.
Exactly, and you don't see Activision stopping; they're still making Modern Warfare's. It's all about the games, man. Just make a game. Who cares about the name? If your game is good, it'll make a name for itself, just like Call of Duty did.
And the fact that it's got them two involved, I'm sure EA are going to jump on that when it comes to the market of the game. And everyone knows the quality that they brought to the Call of Duty series.
Exactly.
You better believe whatever game they make next is going to have from the makers of the world's most popular military shooter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a given. So get a game out, and then maybe that'll silence everything else. Xbox 360 Skype support is now just a matter of time. The Federal Trade Commission has given Microsoft approval to move ahead with its acquisition of Skype. So it's probably going to come to Xbox.
It was going to be free.
Well, you probably have to have gold.
Gold, yeah. So hopefully not diamond.
So if you wanted to use Skype, you'd have to pay when you can use it for free on your computer.
If you want to use it on Xbox Live, yeah. But it's just like
a bad thing.
It's just like everything else. You know. It's free on the PC.
If I want to play this game multiplayer online, I can play it free on the PC, but I gotta pay to play it on Xbox.
Yeah, and we've been doing that for 8 years now.
Longer than that, isn't it?
No, it's 8 years.
Has it been 8 years? Huh?
Yeah, Xbox Live was introduced in, 2003, I think?
Yep.
So. There was a little leak going on this week from Crytek about the knowledge of a new Xbox. Which I don't know why this is news. Of course there's a new Xbox. Of course Crytek is probably going to make a game for it, so not really news. So, the head of EA called Activision out about their announcement of Call of Duty Elite, saying it was bad timing. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. The big story this week, EA is in another debacle with Valve over removing Crysis 2 from Steam, which, once again, it's a he-said-she-said story. But now Alice showed up on Steam. So...
that's a bit odd.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody actually knows what's going on there. Of course, EA is going to bring in their own Steam. It's called Origin. But EA claimed it was Valve that removed the game, and I don't know. Whatever. Sticking with this new trend started by Rockstar, which, by the way, I totally support, Warner Brothers has announced the Season Pass for Mortal Kombat, which allows you to purchase all four DLC characters at a discount if you pre-order them, kind of like the L.A. Noire DLC, where you get everything for $10 as opposed to the $20 that it would cost to buy it all individually. Mortal Kombat's the same way, but it is exclusive to the Xbox 360.
That's
a little odd,
isn't it? Yeah, that's... I don't... unless there's some kind of, you know, network thing with PSN that it just doesn't work, I don't understand that decision.
But then if it doesn't work, then how did
L.A. Noire do it?
Well, maybe L.A. Noire's DLC download model is different. That's what I'm saying.
Mm.
The way they deliver the content may be different. Because I know L.A. Noire, they deliver the content within the game. So maybe that's how they got around it. I don't know. But either way... what's that?
How much money would I be saving if I got this pass?
Well, the characters are $5 a piece, and the pass is 15. So you save $5.
Okay.
So it's actually a pretty good deal, especially if you plan on buying all four characters, which they announced Rain as the third character, but they haven't said who the fourth character is yet. Although the press release did say it was a new entrant to Mortal Kombat. So take that as you will. Oh, the other big story going on this week is a new hacker, which like I told Drew on Twitter, I refuse to say names, give links, don't want any more attention. They hacked a bunch of sites this week. I know Bethesda was the first with the Brink, but they also hacked Sega's site, stealing all the Sega Pass members' data and posting it on the
online
internet. They shut down EVE Online, they shut down Minecraft.
Facebook.
And they got into some Facebook accounts, from what I hear, as well as some European Xbox Live accounts, which were stolen, I believe, from various other places. They didn't actually hack Xbox Live, and that's why this story is misleading. So...
huh.
But these guys have basically said they'll hack anybody you request them to hack... and they say they're doing it for the good of the gamer.
What a bunch of crap.
To show
yourselves and then kick yourself in the nuts so you can't foul the earth with somebody like you.
Yeah, they're basically saying that they're doing it to show that these companies are weak and that they have, you know, weak protection on this on user data. So
that old shite.
Another big story this week was the Jimmy Fallon always does a week of gameplay videos after E3, and he had Battlefield running on the PS3, and everybody threw a fit because it didn't look like the PC version. You idiots really actually thought that the game would look like it did on the PC, running on like monster specs.
Yeah, it looks like shit. I mean. I'm not getting Battlefield 3 now. I'm getting Modern Warfare.
You know what? You're a troll.
Yeah.
You're still buying it.
I'm just saying exactly what the fuck these people are saying.
Yeah, they're idiots. The game still looks fantastic. So, you know, and I'm sure it'll look, you know, equivalent on the 360 as it did on the PS3. And the PC version running at the highest settings, which is what they demo this on, is always going to look better. So, you know, just And I think it's funny that that's the only reason people were excited about the game anyway. They're like, oh, this is much better than Call of Duty. Well, no, not really. It's kind of the same game. No offense. But they both kind of do the same thing. So. It's been around for a while, but Redbox is now doing games, and they're going nationwide on June 17th, which was a couple days ago. And this is a big story as to $2 a day for a game, and some of these games can be beaten in a day. How is this going to affect what's going on with game sales? I mean, for example, you could rent the Green Lantern game for $2 instead of paying $60 for it and beat it in that same, you know, fraction of time.
It sounds awesome to me, but that's just me being a smart consumer.
I can tell you, it's making me think about canceling my Gamefly account.
That's another thing. That's another thing that's going to get hit hard is Gamefly, because $15 a month, whereas, you know, I could rent, you know, 7 games, and there's no way in hell Gamefly will get you 7 games in a month.
Yeah, and if I want a game, I'll just fucking drive up to fucking Walmart or wherever the hell the Redbox is.
Exactly, $2. That's pretty awesome. But it also makes me think that game developers might start rethinking pricing strategy on their games to actually get people to buy them.
Well, see, here's the only problem with that Redbox. I mean, come on. Yeah, everybody and their brother goes up to Redbox, rents a game, then brings it back in the most shitty condition. Then yeah, I get to rent it, and oh, good, I can't play my game because it's all fucked up.
Yeah, there's always that. So we'll just have to wait and see how it pans out. I think it's a great idea, and Redbox is genius for doing it. I'm just surprised nobody had done it sooner. You know, if Gamefly started doing, and, you know, I'm going to write up an article about OnLive this week, but if Gamefly started an OnLive service, kind of like the way PlayStation does the, you know, full trials, basically give you a 24-hour pass to play the game as much as you want, they could redeem themselves if there was some way to do it. Because that would be awesome. Oh, Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. It's going to be comprised of original co-op missions, according to a rumor report. So, co-op in Mass Effect 3? How's everybody feel about that?
Maybe. I mean, if it's completely separate from the campaign, I'm fine with seeing what they do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't hurt it as long as the single player stays intact.
Yep.
I mean, it'd be kind of neat if it was a if it didn't even involve Commander Shepard, if it involved other people fighting in a different part of the galaxy,
or maybe some of your companions before you pick them up, you get to play their missions.
Yeah,
that'd
why
be
not?
Kinda cool.
So it's got a lot of possibilities to make a game of the year game even better.
Yeah, just keep your grubby multiplayer hands out of my single player content.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't make the full game co-op. Get that out of my face.
Get that out of my face.
Out of my face.
Speaking of BioWare, 18,000 BioWare accounts were compromised in another hacker attack.
Same hacker?
It doesn't say. I don't think so. I'm sure they're all part of the same neckbeard group, as Drew would say.
Yeah.
They all live in the same basement.
Pretty much. They're sitting around, you know, pooping in bedpans.
Eating Cheetos.
Whatever. Wii U games were pulled from E3 due to underclocked hardware, according to a report. Developers have been working with an underclocked Wii U development kit.
So the Wii, basically.
Just keep on, you know, fighting that PR train, Nintendo. Keep trying to make it look better than it is. Bobby Kotick is apparently in a movie.
Moneyball. Brad Pitt or something.
Yeah, he's in a movie with Brad Pitt. He plays the owner of the Oakland Athletics in the movie.
Yep.
Whoop-dee-doo.
That's kind of interesting, though. Like, who would bring him in? New Codblops maps are coming this month. I know John's excited. The Annihilation DLC pack adds 4 new maps and 1 new zombie map.
How much?
Same price.
Same price, $15. The Kinect dev tools are now available for everybody. Developers can now start easily making mods for Kinect on the PC. And I'm glad to see Microsoft supporting this, because that's where some of the coolest stuff came out.
Yes, and I'm really excited for it because Bethesda has already said that they're trying their best to get user mods for Skyrim to be available on the consoles.
See, this is stuff that we were promised years ago that could be really awesome.
Right.
Nintendo says they are uninterested in free microtransaction-based games. So don't expect to see a free, you know, free-to-play Mario game in the future. Speaking of which, did anybody notice the stealth announcement of Mario Party 9?
Yes.
I didn't even know they announced it.
Well, it was a picture on their little wall of games coming to the Wii U.
Huh. Well, I mean, you kind of figured there would be a Mario Party on a Nintendo console.
Well, has there been? There was one on the Wii, wasn't there?
Yeah, Mario Party 8, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does anybody give a shit about Mario Party anymore?
No.
I don't think so. Call of Duty created a fake Time magazine cover. They said they did it to attract a younger readers.
Oh. That fake Time magazine cover is one side of a poster that you get from game retail store if you pre-order Call of Duty 3.
It's also in GameStop, according to this. So, pretty interesting. We talked a little bit about it, but Duke Nukem Forever started a PR war on the internet this week, as if it just seems like Duke Nukem's just going to change things forever. And apparently a PR representative made a nasty comment on Twitter, which I know the guy, I emailed him and talked to him about it, and I understand his frustration and his emotions. It was an ill-conceived plot to put it on Twitter, because unfortunately everybody sees that, and I loved how everybody scrambled the next day to make a story out of it.
Yeah, and I mean, really, all he did was say something that pretty much goes unsaid all the time.
Exactly, and that's kind of the funny part about it. So, but he did end up getting fired, which I don't...
Oh, I didn't know that, huh?
Yeah, I don't think it's uncalled for, because they have to kind of save face, but at the same time, I feel bad, because the guy is a really, really cool guy, and he really loves his job, and he really does care about the games. So it's kind of sad to see anybody lose their job over this, but that just goes to show you got to be careful on Twitter.
That's the industry, isn't it, now? It's all about... It's not just about the games, it's about the public persona of not just the company, the games company, but the people who represent the games company.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, it's he did end up losing his account with 2K Games, so he got fired.
Why would you say that, though? I mean, it's just...
You can say it to, you know, behind the scenes, just don't make it public.
Exactly, I mean, just...
Yeah, that's not... That's one of those things that goes unsaid.
Yeah, we all know that it happens. We all know that some companies do blacklist the gaming sites and all that stuff, but...
Well, man. I mean, I don't know if any of you read... Did any of you read Penny Arcade's take on it?
No, I did not.
I thought they pretty much nailed it. They basically said, look, what do you expect? Because with the exception of two or three major gaming sites, there's really not... I mean, the companies really have the upper hand, and there's really not much incentive for them to send a game to a review site if they know it's going to get a terrible score.
No, there's not.
Like, I mean, if you're running Joe Blow's game blog, and I mean, this isn't to hit on any little sites or whatever, because I enjoy smaller sites too, but if you're running Joe Blow's game blog, I mean, why should 2K send you a review copy if they know you're going to give it a 4? Yeah. They might as well just not send you one, not get that score. And then that's one less PR black eye in the storm of PR black eyes they're going to get.
Exactly.
So I mean, it's just one of those things, though. If you're the PR company, you don't say that. So you don't say you better give my game a good score, or I'm not going to send you any more copies. But it's pretty much understood that, hey, look, you want this free game a hell of a lot more than I need your score for most websites. So, That's why, I mean, that's the big reason, and Penny Arcade touched on this too, that's the big reason why most games fall on the 7.5 to 9 scale now. Because, you know, it's a safe enough scale that you can give a somewhat accurate depiction of what the game's like without worrying about pissing off the PR company.
Yeah. I can't stand that, though. Like, to me, a 5 means
average.
Standard, average, mediocre.
Yeah, but it doesn't work that way. And unfortunately, you know, you have these sites every now and then that that try and fix that curve, and they say, look, a 5 to us is average. Well, it doesn't matter if you say that, because the industry has changed to where public perception is that 7 is an average.
Well, there's sites like Metacritic as well, where,
right,
you know, it's an 8 is considered an average now.
Right, and it's like, I mean, so you can be one site and say, look, for us, 5 is an average. It doesn't matter, because nobody's going to look at your score that way. Even if you explain it that way, nobody's going to look at your score that way.
No.
And what everybody pays attention to now, Metacritic, what John's talking about, isn't going to look at your score that way. So, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of...
It's a hard line to walk.
Right.
It's like on Metacritic, it's a mix. It's considered a mixed review after 74.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and then anything higher than 74 is a good review.
Right.
That's crap. That's crap.
It is, but unfortunately, we put ourselves in this position by making it that way for so long that it kind of became the standard.
Yeah.
Yep.
And everybody cries foul whenever you give a game a 7 and say, I enjoyed it. Ooh, if you enjoyed it, why'd you give it a 7?
That's because nobody actually reads the review.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Nintendo has announced that the Wii U will not support DVD or Blu-ray playback. Their answer? You already got one.
Ah, oh, what a piss poor answer.
You already got
that's
one.
That's not the point, is it?
Yeah. That's their reasoning. You already got one. You already got something that plays these.
If I'm a Nintendo fanboy, I sure as hell don't have one. I know my GameCube doesn't play them.
Speaking of Suda51 earlier, he is apparently talking about the Evangelion music game.
Evangelion.
Whatever you like.
The Evangelion. Wow.
Jesus came to me.
Please put your offering in the plate.
But apparently it's a whole new genre of rhythm action games, as if we needed that.
Yeah.
Especially one about Evangelion.
Evangelist Lion.
You know what? I might buy that game.
Evangelist Lion dancing.
No, I want him singing. I want him doing some, like, preacher singing. I'd buy that.
What sounds even more absurd is that they're making a rhythm action game based out of Neon Genesis Evangelion? You got me saying Evangelion. God damn it. Evangelion?
It's awesome.
That makes no sense.
There's a question as to why there isn't a Twisted Metal game coming to the PlayStation Vita, and David Jaffe explains that they haven't asked him to make it.
No, his explanation wasn't, ah, fuck you, I'll make games for whatever I want to, ah! Because that sure seems like it would be his explanation.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, and he said it just like that, too.
Yeah, fuck you.
Ah!
EA Sports is opening a retail store in an airport in Charlotte, North Carolina.
So's your mom.
So you can pick up a copy of Madden now and before you fly out.
And do what with it?
I don't know. Play it.
Take a look at the case while you're on the plane.
Yeah.
Tim Schafer got the rights back to Psychonauts.
Yay!
Majesco's publishing deal with Double Fine has finally expired.
Yay.
And wait, he'll do nothing with it?
No. Probably not.
Probably not, but still.
Tomonobu Itagaki's new game is coming in 2013, and he says he wants to make a Wii U version.
Oh, good.
After seeing the video of it, I think it's possible.
What the hell is it?
No offense.
Asshole.
Yeah, no offense. I like Itagaki's games, but man, that game just doesn't look all that good. Yeah, we're getting back to the stuff we've already talked about that was announced. Blah-di-di-blah-di-di-blah. Yeah, I got nothing. The May NPDs came out, and apparently it was the biggest drop in, like, 5 years for box games. L.A. Noir.
Worry now, aren't they?
Well, L.A. Noir led the way, and apparently a lot of people bought Brink.
Well, more fool them.
The big games were, of course, L.A. Noir, Brink, Lego Pirates of the Caribbean, Portal 2, and Mortal Kombat. Still strong showings the next month after their release, so that's good. I think L.A. Noir will probably drop off next year. Or, I'm sorry, next month. Because people finally realize what it is, and a lot of people don't like what it is. So.
That's sad.
It is, because it's a great game. Capcom has announced that the new Dead Rising 2 with Frank West will be a $40 title instead of a $60 title.
Good, because if you just reskin Chuck Green as fucking Frank West, then I don't want to pay full price for it.
I don't want to pay anything for it. I didn't finish the last one.
You notice you do want to pay a price for it. Which is a little crazy.
I am a fan of Dead Rising.
Homefront developer Chaos Studios has been shut down by THQ. The Homefront series will continue by a different developer.
Now how well did that game do?
It did not decent.
Yeah, I mean, not as bad as you would think.
Yeah, which is surprising.
Yeah.
The marketing for that game was insane.
Yeah, I know. They were trying to make it a Call of Duty killer, which they should have never done.
I thought the idea of the story was okay, but the gameplay, the fact that it was, you know, 3 hours long and just seemed run of the mill fare, really didn't stand out.
Oh,
3 hours long and run of the mill fare.
Speaking about West and Zampella earlier, I have a rumor here that they're working possibly on a sci-fi shooter.
Well, they did say they wanted to do something different, didn't they?
Yeah. Because
no one's done a sci-fi shooter before.
No.
The only other thing I have is the new Alan Wake is not set to be published by Microsoft. According to a Microsoft VP, the first Alan Wake didn't sell as well as we would have liked.
Really?
Maybe because it was the Duke Nukem Forever of that year. It had been in development for like 10 years.
I liked Alan Wake.
Hey, I never said I didn't.
I think a lot of people did.
Yeah.
It just didn't sell very well.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it did over 1 million, didn't it?
1 million's not enough anymore.
Jesus Christ.
It doesn't cover the cost, man. It just doesn't cover it.
It's crazy.
Yep. Alright. So apparently we're having a ninja problem with Wombat.
Oh, they're getting them again.
Yeah, the ninjas are there. But I'm going to move on to the tweets now.
Yeah, because we had no questions.
Yeah, we had no questions.
Oh, come on, peeps.
So I'm going to move over to the tweets. The tweets start with Mega Monkeys, who says, "How long will it take me to beat Dragon Age Origins on easy? Yeah, I'm even further behind than Wombat."
Oh,
he'll
man.
Be pleased to know that.
30 hours?
You could probably do it in less than 30.
You could probably could if, you know, if you're a quest whore like I am, then you'll be like, oh, man, I got to do everything.
Well, if you just go straight through the story, you could probably do it in about 15.
Yeah.
So, it looks like he's wanting to do it quick and dirty, so.
Nice.
Well, you're going to have to play it on easy anyway, because that game is difficult as shit.
Michael Futter's not here. He says apparently the real Cliffy B wants to make a Kinect game. Regular listeners of the show know what that means. He's still here in spirit.
Yeah, bless.
Mookie's Groove says, "Can I get a two human two?" Probably not.
Please. Jeez.
You know it's not likely though. Which I saw the new screenshots of the new X-Men game and Game Informer from Silicon Knights.
Is that Destiny one?
Yeah. That looks good.
It does look pretty good.
So
yeah, it does.
Kind of excited about that. He also says, "Was there any gameplay footage of the next Hitman game at E3? There was some leaked. Just do a search on the internet, you'll find it. But there's some leaked gameplay of the game. It involves a bald gentleman in a suit with gloves and a gun.
Just like all the others.
Exactly.
And a barcode on the back of his head.
Exactly.
What great games, though, man.
Well, from what I understand, this is going to be a little bit more action-y.
I hope so. I love the Hitman games, but I got frustrated with them.
Yeah. Really? I just always went balls to the wall, shoot everybody.
Yeah, and that didn't work.
Yeah, half the time it didn't work.
He also says, just started on Dungeon Siege 3 on Steam. Is anyone interested to add me and play some game here? I honestly bet I don't think anybody's buying it on the PC.
How are you playing it already anyway?
I don't know.
On Steam, no less.
Is it out in Europe, John?
I would have a look, but I'm not on my PC.
Oh, okay.
So I can't tell you. It might well be. I don't know.
I don't know. I know that it's not out here. It doesn't come out till Tuesday.
No.
So. It might be one of those ones that have sort of come over to us first, but I can't be sure. Can't give you a definitive on that.
All right. Maybe that's how he's playing it, because otherwise on Steam he wouldn't be playing it, because I don't think it's out yet. So it has to be over there.
Yeah, it must be.
So Doom says, just beat Red Faction Armageddon. I did not expect much from this game. I liked it more than expected. It shocked. The post-beating weapons, like Mr. Toots, are cool. I like the cheats so much, though. Instant Nano Forge cooldown, epic win. Constant Force Push is fun. No barrage this week. Happy Daddy's Day to you all. You too, sir.
Thank you.
You too, sir.
He says, my 14-year-old daughter went to her 8th grade dance looking like a grown-ass woman. That shit was hard.
I bet.
I guess it comes with the territory. Later, y'all. Child of Eden is LSD, by the way. Dude, it is. That game is crazy. Michael Feather also says, hey, N4G Podcast, happy Father's Day to those with progeny. I'm looking at you, Drew. Your kid called to say, give me that money, blah.
You paid me in 15 years, Daddy. You owe me all sorts of back child support, boy. You better get that over to my place. I need to buy some food with it.
He also says, did you hear there was more talk of Gears Connect this week? Oh, Lord.
Another on-rail shooter? Great.
Oh, did you hear that Peter Molyneux apologized and said it was a mistake to show what they showed? They show what they showed at E3 because it isn't an on-rails magic game.
Yeah, I saw that.
But then he went back and said, well, it kind of is.
You lying son of a bitch.
So, basically, he's under-promising this time.
Hmm.
And the game will probably still under-deliver.
Probably. Yeah.
It's not on rails when the cutscenes are going on.
Eeyore Carr just said Matthew.
Okay.
Radio PM says, happy Father's Day to all the gamers out there. I finally got to shoot someone in L.A. Noir. Thank goodness.
Just on that very often.
You guys do understand the Matthew thing, right?
No.
Yeah. That's because Jason called Mike Matthew.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's great. He says, I'm loving this that games are like movie genre that has been created because now you can gives you a great reason to play games with S-O. I'm not internet lingo. What's S/O?
I don't know.
All right, we'll continue with it.
Okay. Have a great show, fellas.
Oh, that's it? Shit. I don't know. With S-O. Security officer.
Oh, okay. There you go. Sam in Seattle says, so much Duke hate lately. Seems like it should have been a cheaper release title. Is it worth $40 instead of $60 to you guys? Nobody on the show thinks it's worth $10 except for me. So not the best question to ask, but I can't answer that. Like, when people go, should I buy it? I'm like, you know, if you're expecting a shooter from this decade, no.
How about this? How's
I paid 99 cents for Duke Nukem 3D on my iPhone.
And you got a good deal.
It's probably superior to the new Duke Nukem.
You know what? I can tell you it's not, because playing Duke Nukem on the iPhone fucking sucks.
Yeah, it does. You are correct.
It plays like asshole.
It does. You're correct.
Well, yeah, how's the achievements and trophies on it? Pretty easy?
Duke Nukem?
Yeah.
They're pretty much standard. I mean, they're easy, like kill 250 aliens, blah, 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 normal stuff.
For $10, I could get some trophies out of it.
Oh, you whore.
I am a whore.
Okay, I'm going to read Key's... actually, I'm going to read Eeyore Carr's first, because Key has a few. He says, how come when a lady is pregnant, other girls rub her belly and say congrats, but nobody rubs your balls and says good job?
Well, yeah, good point.
That is a good point.
I don't know, but if anybody ever came up and rubbed my balls and said good job, I might punch them.
Depends on who it is.
Yeah, that depends. Irick1992 says, I'm just wondering if you guys plan on having weekly shows throughout the summer. It makes driving to work entertaining. Of course we do.
Yeah, yeah, we've weekly had weekly shows for the last the 4.5 years.
Yep. Okay, Key134 says, have any of you heard of a game called Terraria? It's an indie game on Steam. It's a 2D adventure digging game. I got it for six, I'm guessing that's pounds.
I have heard.
Pounds.
They say it's Minecraft, but 2D.
Yeah, it looks pretty good, too, actually.
He says, for that price, the amount of awesome content you get is incredible, and virtually any computer can run it with no problems. If anyone is listening to this that has the game, add me on Steam. My Steam name is the same as my Twitter. We can do co-op. ShotCaller33 says, happy Father's Day, gents. Have a great show. Thank you, sir. And then H-Dogger. Yeah, this is kind of funny. H-Dogger says, I'm not sure if you've discussed this yet, but have you heard of a 2D Minecraft Terraria?
Hey, look at that.
I have seen it on Steam. It comes up on the featured page, but it does look very 8-bit-ish.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool, actually, though. Mm. I read a little bit about it on a different gaming forum who shall go nameless.
Say what?
They'll go nameless.
Okay. You read in other forums. What's wrong with you?
Well, yeah. I'm not allowed to post there, so all I can do is read.
Oh, then I know which one you're talking about.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about, too. The one where all the assholes are.
That's because you're not allowed into their gated community. You're not cool enough.
I'm allowed to stand outside their gated community, though, and watch them frolic.
You're not a big enough asshole.
Oh, exactly.
I haven't even actually applied for a...
You'd get denied anyway.
I would, probably.
It's like registering for a diamond credit card when you have, like, 300 on your credit score.
What do they look for whenever you apply?
They'd look for, I don't know.
Your potential to be pretentious?
through my name? You apply, I said, what's your screen name going to be? Frustrated Fury? I don't know. He doesn't seem very frustrated.
I don't know.
We'll let him in.
For G-Podcast.
You know what's funny? There's a guy on that particular named forum, which I have an account to, by the way.
Oh, you're one of the assholes, then.
Yeah, there's a guy on that forum with my name, my screen name, so I couldn't use that one. I was pissed.
So what's your name on there?
I'm not going to say.
Oh!
Anyway, Silpho says, when you guys do your fondling, you should name drop the games more often. I always forget which game you're talking about. That's a good suggestion.
Just in case you're just tuning in, we're talking about Diablo 2.
Yeah, well, isn't there a rewind button?
No.
No.
This is the internet.
You gotta listen to it live.
You gotta just listen live, dude. If you rewind it, it just ruins it.
Oh, well, okay.
Freaker UK says, am I wrong getting the kids to work out their differences beating 7 bells out of each other in Street Fighter?
That's hell
awesome.
No.
That's awesome.
That's the greatest.
That's parenting the way it should be.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be bad if you were working out your differences with your children by beating the bells out of them, not in Street Fighter. And then yelling like James Hetfield at the end of it.
Yeah, yeah. ShotColor33 says, I almost forgot. Give me that money, boy.
Give me that money, boy. Give me all that money, boy.
Oh, okay. I have a lot of tweets from IFHD. He says, can we have an episode about hardcore gamers, casual gamers, video game music, Project $10, Choice in Conflict?
What?
What the fuck? What is Project
$10?
All those at once?
Yeah.
I don't even know what half of them are.
He also says, can we have an episode about how you met? How ZTGD started? About your MGS fan site and how you got your nickname, ZT and Gambus Khan?
MG fan site?
That's how the ZTGD started.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
No, I didn't.
Back in 1996.
Jesus Christ.
Was there internet then?
Yes, there was.
There was.
There's three people on it, and they're all watching Bourne.
I know, and when I got 5 hits a day, I was excited.
Yeah, that's like people on Metal Gear fan site.
Dude, when I go to my site and I saw my counter go up like 2 or 3 notches, I'm like, woohoo!
People get here on X. I clicked the wrong link.
Yeah, whoops. He also says, can we have an episode about narrative mechanics, piracy, female characters, gamification, metrics, anonymous DLC story structure?
Where are we going to fit all these in?
Where are we going to learn what all these are?
The day after the day before tomorrow.
Cool.
He also says, can we have an episode about Remulators, Death of Hard Games, Our Oscars, and the Death of Innovation?
This man is too prestigious for this podcast.
I'm telling
you.
I
think he should start his own podcast. He's got some pretty fucking ideas there.
There you go.
Start it up, brother. Graham34 says, hey guys, any of you all getting Fear 3 this week? If yes, which system? I'm still undecided on which system to get. It's an FPS, so go 360.
That's not necessarily true.
So you want to play it on that PS3 controller?
Hey, I have no problem with Killzone 3 on the PS3.
I would have rather played it with a 360 controller.
Yeah, sure, they do make 360 controller adapter things.
Why would I do that when I can just buy a 360 and play on the superior Xbox Live?
Shut up.
That's right.
You're such a hater.
I won't be playing it.
It's because you can't. It'll scare you.
More than likely. I still haven't made my way through Dead Space yet. I'm such a pussy.
I love Fear. Fear 2 is actually one of those games that scared the living shit out of me. Like, I screamed like a little girl. I think I'll probably pick up Fear 3 when it goes down in price. I mean, there's just too much stuff out right now. I mean, I totally want to play Fear 3. It sounds awesome, and I loved all the Fear games, but right now I can't afford it.
I need somebody to buy this so I can play co-op.
Well, there you go. Somebody just asked you.
Yeah, well, I said 360.
There you go.
Jerkstore81 says, is there a game developer whose games you will absolutely avoid? Mine would be Bethesda.
It was
be yours as well, wouldn't it, Ken?
That'd be one of mine.
Oh, man.
Usually Obsidian.
Yeah. I'm going against my better judgment and fucking playing Dungeons & Dragons 3. God, who just really makes some really shit stuff? Who's the guy that made Jumper and a bunch of movie license games?
Oh, I don't know who made that game.
Who were they? Oh, Grin. They're not even in business anymore.
Now, I like Bionic Commando.
I like Bionic Commando too, but the rest of their games were pretty crap.
One, it was not bad. It was just 3 hours long.
I thought it was crap.
I played through it. It was all right to me.
I did too, but that's because it only took one sitting.
Yeah, that's true. I beat it in 2 days.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that I would. I'm definitely on the Bethesda train. I won't really buy anything from them. It's just they're not my kind of games. Damn.
But apart from the Diablo series, I don't play Blizzard games.
But dude, that's like 30% of their games.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, anything really that David Jaffe ever makes.
Oh. Okay.
I'm trying to think of any developers that I'm not really a fan of. I can't really think of anybody.
I think Gambus would be best off just naming the ones that he would play. It's like Square Enix and Atlas.
Square Enix is, so 1990s.
Whatever.
I mean, dude, seriously.
Atlas is amazing.
Atlas blows away Square now.
They do now, yeah. They bring out some premium content.
And so does XSEED. So.
You know, I would say that NIS does, but man, they release a lot of crap, too.
Yeah.
NIS comes out with a new game every week. And it's just. They do.
It's always a strategy RPG, too.
Yeah, it's a strategy RPG. And they have some good ones. You know, Artanelico was fantastic. But then they released Hyperdimension Neptunia, and that was crap. You know, and you know, obviously they have the Disgaea series, and those are really good. And then all of a sudden, you get more crap. So you just got to wade through some of it.
All right, I'm going to move on. IFHD says, "What is your top three male and female characters, voice actors, game music composer, developers?"
What?
Oh, wow, that's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot there.
I don't know that I could name my top three male and female characters.
Well, he's saying voice actors, isn't he?
No, there's commas.
Oh.
Well, I suppose Nolan North are your top three voice actors.
No way. Stephen Bloom, man.
Stephen Bloom is a lot of shit.
Simon Templeman is my favorite voice actor.
Oh, by the way, I have to say this. In the new Transformers game, Nolan North is in it. And not just as a voice, he's actually in it.
Wow!
I heard about that.
He's in a full, he's a full motion video of like a commander.
Huh?
So he popped up on the screen. I'm like, oh shit, Nolan North.
You having a fanboy moment over seeing Nolan North in Transformers?
No, I've just never actually seen him in a game.
He looks kind of like Drake a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
It's a bit like the David Hayter in Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a bit of a fanboy moment.
You know who he kind of looks like? He looks like fucking Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, he does look like Seth MacFarlane.
But as far as voice actors goes, I mean, I really like who was the guy that played Alistair and what was his name? Flynn in Uncharted 2?
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
I really like that voice actor.
I really like Jennifer Hale.
Yeah, she's good.
But she does the female Shepard, doesn't she?
Yes.
Yep.
Crap. The woman who was in Uncharted 2 as well as Dragon Age, Claudia Black. She's pretty good.
She's pretty good.
Oh, I know she. I know she is.
I don't know. It's just me, but there's no Simon Templeman is the best.
Oh, he played Logan, right?
Yep, and Kane in the Legacy of Kane series.
He's a good voice actor.
After you play Shadows of the Damned, you'll have a new love for Stephen Bloom.
Oh, I already had. Dude, he is Wolverine.
Just he
like
is.
Just like Kevin Conroy will forever be fucking Batman, Stephen Bloom will always be Wolverine for me. And if I can get a Hispanic Wolverine, that's awesome.
It's so funny. All right, I'm not going to go too much into this because we're running deep as it is. So I'm going to move on to the next one. NeoSpawn says, "Happy Father's Day. It's my first as a father, so congrats to you, sir."
Congratulations.
Quick shout-outs to BlueSlime15 and Tebus1. Bring back Arnold and Wombold's Andre the Giant.
Are we bring it back eventually?
And I have a bunch more from IFHD. Dude, we should do an IFHD show. He says, "Can we have an episode about video games as an art or as a sport? Should we change the name of what we play from video games to something like interactive entertainment experiences?" No.
I hate that stuff.
I play games. Not consoles. Oh, motherfucker. He says, "If someone plays video games, they are called a gamer. What do we call someone who reads a book? Bookworm.
Reader.
What do we call someone who sees movies?
Movie buff.
A movie buff. Or listens to music.
A weirdo. And a hipster.
No, come on. That's certain music. I wouldn't call a hipster a guy who listens to James Hetfield.
Yeah! White knuckle tape!
And his final question says, "Will gaming be accepted in society, or will they lose the stigma?"
It's already pretty much accepted in society at this point.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Everybody plays video games, man.
And what's funny is that's why so many hardcore people are so up in arms now. Because gaming, you know, after clamoring for years for gaming to be accepted, now it is, and they're mad because everything's for casuals.
That's the exact fact. They wanted it to be an exclusive club for geeks, and now that mom and dad want to play games, it's not right. It's not right.
Maybe we should make a gated gaming community. Oh, wait.
But you assholes won't let me in.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't let you into my club either. And finally, Me Day 354 says, "Fuck, I'm late again." That's okay, because we ran late. What do you guys know about a new and more secure PS3 coming from Sony?
It's called the PS4, and it won't be internet compatible.
Jesus.
You'll have to get all your DLC via mail order.
Some people
send
would
it
do
to
that.
You on a disc.
It would be like a Sega channel.
Dude, after all this hacking crap, I wouldn't be surprised if this stuff actually does happen. It's gotten scary. I want to know a stat of people who removed their credit cards from PSN, Xbox Live, Steam.
Well, there's no fucking telling, dude.
Oh, God. It's nasty out there.
I'm just so sad. Like, seriously, if I was in a room with one of those fucking hackers, I would seriously beat the fuck out of them.
You know what? I'd put that on YouTube.
Yeah, I would put it on YouTube, too. And I'd say, you see, if I find any of you other hackers, it's going to happen to you, too.
And then the FBI.
And you don't have to take my word for it.
You're never going to find them because they never leave their bedroom.
That's what we call people who read books. LeVar Burton.
Yeah, LeVar Burton. Oh, you're a LeVar Burton, one of those guys.
You're one of those guys.
You're one of those. You're a Jordy LaForge.
Yeah. Where's your visor?
Oh, that's good times. But that's it. That's all the tweets I have. So, do we have anything? Do we have any reviews?
No.
Boom.
I can't tell you.
Well, John, what good are you then?
What, how are you even talking to us?
Because I'm on the Mac. I'm on the girlfriend's Mac. My PC's boxed up, ready to be sent back to the place I bought it from to get fixed.
And does John have iTunes? You can't check on iTunes?
It does on her side, but on my side, no, it doesn't. I can't be asked to put it in.
Okay. But, John, your situation is exactly why I don't PC game anymore.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I have
real
a
pain.
Hard
I think it's that fucking AMD graphics card, because it was all freezing up, and I got a few tips off some people, but it didn't seem to work, and I tried a clean install, and that didn't work. And so I rung the place up on Friday, and they said, yeah, we'll send a courier out on Monday to come and collect it. And then yesterday, it got to the point where I'd turn the computer on and the screen wouldn't even come up. The monitor wouldn't recognise that a signal's being sent to it. So I think it might have something to do with the graphic card, but I really don't know, and it's really pissed me off.
Oh, God. I hate that crap.
Yeah, that's the only problem. I mean, PCs are nice, but they do have issues from time to time.
All right, so I guess, Gambus, you got your shout-outs?
Yeah.
Shiggity, 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 shiggity shout-outs.
I'll give a shout out to the All Gen Gamers podcast. I'm Johnny Millennium, aka Happy Console Gamer on YouTube. We've been in talks for having him as being a special guest in a future episode. So I hope that pans out well.
We've been having talks about that for like a year.
Yeah.
I guess maybe it might not have been that long, because I remember I was playing Red Dead Redemption the first time you mentioned it, and I played that about a year late, so just like everything else. So.
Are any of you familiar with the Happy Console Gamer YouTube channel?
You have directed me to it before.
Gambus, I got to be honest with you, I'm barely familiar with this podcast.
duly noted. But it's one of the best channels on YouTube for, like, video game stuff. The guy literally has so many video games that he could start his own gaming museum. But, let me see here. Of course, give the big old shout out to the Front Towards Gamer podcast. Shanghai 6 is awesome. Give a shout out to The Outcast, which is a nice Japanese gaming podcast, and a big shout out to the Red Sun Gamer podcast, which is also a really, really awesome Japanese podcast. DJ Mizuhara is a cool host.
They're really nice. I watched their live stream a lot while I'm at work.
Yeah. And that concludes this week's shoutouts.
Alrighty, well, that's all I have, unless somebody has anything else.
I don't have anything else.
Nope. You sound disappointed. You're like, oh, right, you know.
I got nothing.
I'm just going to go sit in my corner. All right, well, I guess that wraps it up. So, Mr. Khan, if you'd be so kind.
And go something like this.
Welcome to the N4G Podcast.
Mario!
Zero Dollar!
This is gonna be a very interesting episode.
Greetings, programs. I got lost trying to find my way to the secret underground N4G radio lair.
The Wombat.
And always looking
at you. Killer Wolverine. Play games, not consoles. No fanboys allowed.
And then I killed the dragon. 8.0.
Killed the dragon.